This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. This week, you'll learn with over 500,000 listeners the secrets of success from a top CEO. No sound bites, no gotchas. Instead, you'll hear direct insights, stories, and wisdom on personal leadership and on growing your business. Unfiltered and straight from the most successful CEOs. Hope you enjoy. Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Dr. Steve Corwin. How are you?
Well, Robert, how are you? Thanks.
Good. And Steve is the president and CEO of New York Presbyterian, which is one of the largest healthcare systems in all of America. So let's start off and talk. Right now you have, it's about a $7 billion organization, about 35,000 employees, and is one of top six hospitals in America. But in 1979, you graduated, you joined healthcare. Talk through what led you into the healthcare industry.
Well, growing up as a young New Yorker, my father had lived through the Great Depression. His father died right at the time of the crash in October of 1929 from rheumatic heart disease and an embolus. So it was always seared into his mind growing up as a latchkey kid that he wanted somebody to help people with heart disease. And so at a very early age, I was interested in becoming a cardiologist. My grandfather on my mother's side then died of a heart attack when I was in fifth grade, and that sort of spurred me on to medicine. It was one of those things that I've always had a passion for. I don't think I ever wanted to do anything else in life other than that, and went to medical school. I went through the six-year program at Northwestern, and I graduated at the age of 23 in 1979, and the only thing on my mind at that point was becoming the best doctor that I could be.
And so you joined New York Presby. You moved on to become the chief medical officer as well.
Yes. Look, I've been a lifer at New York Presbyterian. I became an internist and then a cardiologist. I met my wife at the hospital. Our children were born at the hospital. Gradually, over a period of time, I moved on to medical administration. I was asked to head a number of task forces, then ICUs. The then Columbia Presbyterian got into trouble financially in the late 1980s, and I gradually took on more and more of an administrative role.
But your goal was not to be in administration. Your goal was to be in medicine, so why would you go that direction?
Well, you know, life changes, and I think that we all recognize that in our careers we have several sub-careers. I realized that, A, I had a passion for doing it. I think I had some talent at doing it. And I realized that one could impact healthcare in the country and impact healthcare amongst patients by being in an administrative role. I was told very early on by a mentor, just remember, you're a physician who happens to be a good administrator, not an administrator who happens to be a physician. And carrying that ethos of being a physician, I think, has helped me through the career. I understand what it's like to take care of somebody dying. I understand what it's like to take care of somebody at 2 o'clock in the morning in an ICU. That's very meaningful, I think.
Is there a message there that could translate to, we have 600,000 CEOs listening in to this show, that could translate to other CEOs?
Having knowledge of your business is an essential aspect of what we all do, and having a visceral knowledge of what makes that business tick is really important. I tell our trainees all the time, look, if you're coming into this with a non-clinical background, you better understand clinical medicine. If you come in with a clinical background, a nurse, a physician, a therapist, you have to understand the non-clinical aspects. You have to understand how this business actually runs.
So how does someone learn the other side? How did you go learn the other side? What did you have to go through to learn accounting, to learn technology?
I learned it with scrapes and bruises and a lot of hard work. I wouldn't advise others to learn it that way. I learned it by myself. I learned it through mentors. I learned it in small coursework. I taught myself accounting. I taught myself how to read a balance sheet. I would read the Wall Street Journal assiduously. I'd read business magazines. I'd learn about leadership and management. Took some coursework in that regard. But now, having had that experience with our young physicians who are interested in administration, we assiduously try to give them a path of education and learning to say, okay, here's what you need to know about leadership, management. Here's what you need to know about finance. And we actually give them coursework and we sign up for that to make sure that they have the requisite knowledge. I don't think I did it the right way, but I think I have an idea of what somebody needs who does not have that background.
Any challenge you had to come, it took only 32 years later, here you are, become CEO in 2011.
Right.
Any challenge, main challenge, it was a milestone that you had to overcome and you said, I did it and now I'm ready?
Well, you know, it's like the dog who chases the car and finally catches it. What do you do? I felt that I had proven myself as a chief medical officer and chief operating officer. The question was, how could I make my mark as a CEO? And I think being a CEO is different than any other job you can possibly have. It's a leadership job, it's an inspiration job, and it's also a how do we chart the course of this great organization? One of the principal things that I think is important for a CEO is to be a good steward. New York Hospital was founded in 1771. There's a reason that organization has existed for close to 250 years, and I'm not going to be the guy to tank that organization. We need to be stewards of our organizations and move them to the next level. And I think that my thought process in becoming the CEO was, how do we make my mark? How do we make the place a better place? And how do we make sure that we're financially responsible, that we do our fiduciary duty, that we steward this organization through what's arguably a very turbulent period of time in healthcare in the United States?
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we speak with the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Dr. Steve Corwin, who is the CEO of New York Presbyterian, one of the largest healthcare systems and most awarded healthcare systems in America. So we're going to talk later in the show about healthcare and what CEOs need to do and how healthcare is changing. But let's talk first about your first day as CEO. What was on your mind? Now you're talking about being steward. What were you thinking when you first moved in that office? What do I need to focus on? What are my priorities?
There's no question that my first priority as CEO was to look at the healthcare landscape and realize that we needed to get larger. We needed to develop economies of scale. We needed to develop a regional system of healthcare to meet the needs of what the Affordable Care Act put into motion. Mm-hmm. So remember, the Affordable Care Act insures more people, but it also mandates that one take care of populations. And so our response to that was to say, we're going to build a regional network of care. Regardless of where you enter that, you're going to get New York Presbyterian quality care. So my first thought upon entering the job was, I've got a great academic medical center. I've got great faculty from two terrific medical schools, Columbia and Weill Cornell.
That's sort of unique, isn't it?
It is, and I think that what makes it unique and terrific for our patients is that these are some of the best physicians in the world. And let me give you an example of that. If you look at Medicare mortality statistics for heart failure, pneumonia, heart attack, we're at the very top of the country. That's due to not only the great care that you receive from the hospital, but these great physicians. So we wanted to leverage the talent of those physicians. How do you do that in a regional system of care? We made the decision that with our partners, Weill Cornell and Columbia, those two medical schools, we were going to develop an unparalleled system of regional care. That requires time, it requires effort, but it required, as you said, the thought on the first day, we're going to need to get bigger. How do we do that?
And when you get bigger, there are the challenges of scope as well. So you have about 9,000 physicians, and you have 35,000 total associates. What are some unique practices that you use to build a culture which has been talked about a great deal as a tremendous culture?
What's the saying, culture eats strategy for breakfast?
There you go. That's right.
Okay. So culture is critically important. The culture of putting a patient first is the most important thing. Now, Everyone's going to say that. We always put the patient first. The question is,
1 minute before break, so I want to hear a specific example that CEOs could use in their jobs as well.
I'll tell you a specific example. We extol and actually use examples of our employees doing something extraordinary above and beyond, reward them, publicize it, and make sure that everyone knows they do that. I'll give you a perfect example. We had a security guard at our Morgan Stanley Children's Hospital who resuscitated an infant in the driveway, got that infant to the ICU, the child lived. You got to take that security guard and hug him, because that's what we're all about.
That's something. So everyone listening in, think about your whole organization and where are pockets where you could take people and have them advance their careers to add more value to the client.
And Robert, let me just say one more thing. That fundamentally assumes a key thing in a culture, and that is respect. You have to have respect for everybody working in your organization.
Robert Greece on the CEO Show. We'll be back in a few with Dr. Steve Corwin.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro-1, G2.0, and Pro-Max filters are independent, lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today. Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Has neck, back, or shoulder pain got you down? Go to sunshine-pillows.com and get soothing comfort, support, and pain relief fast. Their microwavable heat therapy pillows and wraps treat neck and shoulder pain, reduce stress, and relax the soul. An ergonomic pillow from Sunshine Pillow supports your head and neck on long trips or when simply resting at home. Be good to yourself. Visit sunshine-pillows.com. Sunshine-pillows.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Dr. Steve Corwin, who is the CEO of New York Presbyterian. You were talking about culture. You told some great stories. Give more examples of specific things you do to build that culture.
Respect is fundamental. So how do you build respect in a culture? It can be as simple as asking employees to say hello to each other. It's recognizing people who go above and beyond. I'll give you a great example. We had an employee in one of our ICUs who noticed that day after day, she was a unit clerk, the person who greets patients when they come in, noticed that day after day, an elderly male had come in to visit his very sick wife in the ICU. And she noticed that he was there all the time. It was Valentine's Day. She went out, she got him a card that he could give to his sick wife who was
really?
On a ventilator and said, I thought that you would like to give this to your wife.
Huh.
Now, if you can't recognize somebody like that and show that as the CEO this matters to you, then you shouldn't be a CEO.
Now, you have 9,000 physicians who come from a very different academic mindset than other employees. How do you manage the different types of cultures that you have?
I think that one of the great things of running a healthcare institution is it's very clear what the mission is.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear that it's about the patient all the time. And I have found, no matter who the physician is, that when you say, let's think about what's best for the patient, you always get to the right result. Because number one, they know that I have been in that position, and I think that's important with doctors. I really do. But more importantly than that, I think everyone has that ethos of, yeah, we should be doing the right thing for the patient. Let's put politics aside. Let's put our squabbles aside. I think our federal government could use a little of that, you know, that type of ethos. But I think that that's really where it comes from.
And for CEOs listening in, once you hear that and you focus on your customer, everyone becomes galvanized and aligned.
Yeah, and look, I don't mean to minimize execution, because you can have a great strategy, and unless you execute on that, you can't make it happen. But I think execution depends on culture. Can you get somebody to drive towards that result? Can you get somebody to understand what it really means to be customer-centric? Can you show examples of that so that everyone understands, gee, that really is going the extra mile. I should be doing that.
So you are one of the top organizations right now in healthcare. There's about 5,000 hospitals. You're cited as number 6 in U.S. News and World Report nationally, number 1 in the New York area. What is the future for New York Presbyterian?
Well, we want to be number 1. We want to be number 1 because we want New Yorkers to feel that they've got the best hospital in the country. I know rating systems are arbitrary to a certain extent, but our goal should be nothing short of being number 1. Why? Because that means that you're delivering the very best possible patient care. That a patient coming to us says, I have the best chance at survival of having a good outcome if I go to New York Presbyterian. Healthcare is changing, and it will change. You're seeing huge strides in treatment of cancer. You're seeing big changes in the treatment of neurologic diseases and cardiac diseases. It's an exciting place to be. I think healthcare is going to continue to get better. I know we all focus on the cost aspect of healthcare. I actually think we can take a lot of cost out of the healthcare system.
How?
Number 1, quality.
Mm-hmm.
If you have less complications, if you're providing great quality, you're going to reduce costs. Number 2, you eliminate unnecessary utilization. So as a hospital CEO, you're in the position of your top line revenue doesn't grow unless your volume grows. So you say to me, how can you reconcile reducing utilization, where at the same time you're trying to encourage utilization. My answer to that is we should do everything we can to get unnecessary utilization out. We have an extensive second opinion program. We do a lot around telehealth. We're trying to get utilization out because we believe that the remaining utilization will come to us because of our quality. So I don't think that the two are irreconcilable. In fact, I think they're mutually compatible.
Will the future of American healthcare be where there are more larger systems specialized, or what will the landscape look like, do you think, in 10 years?
I think it's inevitable. Consolidation was inevitable. I think that the Affordable Care Act accelerated that. You have to get economies of scale. You have to develop regional systems of care to be able to take advantage of that. The capital required in hospital now, both information technology and bricks and mortar, requires real scale. So consolidation will happen, and I think that we will end up with a public-private partnership that makes sense. I'm a big believer in the expansion of Medicaid for poor and indigent. I'm also a very big believer in employer-based health care. I think the combination of Medicaid, Medicare, and employer-based health care gives us a vibrant system.
And what can CEOs do? They look at healthcare costs, it's usually 20% of their P&L. What could they do to reduce healthcare costs?
Well, CEOs know that what drives healthcare costs is a small percentage of their employees. So health and wellness, prevention, those are good long-term strategies, get people to smoke less, et cetera. But the biggest thing that they can do is take a look at those patients who are driving most of the cost and get them cared for in a meaningful way. We did an experiment with an indigent population in Washington Heights, which is northern Manhattan, called the Targeted Care Initiative. That reduced ER visits and admissions in asthmatic, diabetics, and congestive heart failure patients by 30% across the board. If you take patients who are chronically ill and likely to use the hospital frequently, whether it's an employed population or an indigent population, you can reduce their cost of care.
So I'm going to ask you, the final question will be about digital, but before that, you've already told me you have a great board, and a lot of people, CEOs, want to learn what to do to have a great board. What advice do you have on board governance and board selection?
I'm a big believer in transparency with the board. I'm a big believer that you bring people onto the board who are multifaceted and capable in different industries. I can't tell you the number of insights I've gotten from people who run other big companies that are very germane to healthcare. And a perfect example is how to look at information technology. Everyone's got huge information technology issues. Hearing somebody from a communications company tell me, this is how I think about information technology. I've had people, CEOs of companies tell me, I've made every mistake in the book in terms of dealing with unions. Let me give you my advice in terms of dealing with this particular union problem. So transparency with the board, involve them in strategy. I think that's the way that I look at it.
So we have a minute left. Let's look at digital disruption and how this is impacting healthcare. And I know there's precision medicine. There's a lot of positives, a lot of negatives, cybersecurity. What's your take? 1 minute left on the future of healthcare in a digital world.
I think that telemedicine has the ability to potentially transform the healthcare landscape, both in terms of access, quality, and cost. Imagine having a sick parent that can have a telemedicine visit as opposed to having to bring that parent in and lose a day of work to see somebody in the office. Imagine having a second opinion at your beck and call. Imagine having an experienced neuroradiologist read a scan from 200 miles away, all of which we can do now. So telemedicine has got great promise, and I think that's what people should think about as they look at medicine in the future.
Well, Steve, a pleasure having you on the CEO show.
Robert, thank you very much. It was very enjoyable.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with the trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification, and our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Ralph De La Vega. How are you, Ralph?
Terrific, Robert. Thank you for having me.
And Ralph is the vice chairman of AT&T. So let's talk about AT&T as an organization. It's in a very competitive space. How do you differentiate yourself?
Well, we have made several acquisitions recently, Robert, that really differentiate us on a global basis. We now are the world's highest scaled integrated services provider for businesses and for consumers. That means that if you're a business, I can provide for all your needs. If you need wireless services, I can give you wireless services. If you need wireline services, I can give you those. If you need security services, I can work with others to give you solutions that solve your business problems. So we can serve from the smallest to the largest businesses, for example. We serve nearly every single Fortune 1000 firm globally. So we have a great base of customers, and we have the latest network technologies that allow software-defined capabilities to deliver services to customers in seconds. That's what we do in the business side. On the consumer side, we do the same thing. We're an integrated services provider, and with the acquisition of DirecTV, now we can offer a customer their TV services, their broadband services, their mobile services, their fixed voice services, whatever they want in a package. That's what distinguishes AT&T. We are the world's highest scaled integrated services provider, and that is a very distinctive strategy than anybody in the marketplace.
And one of the biggest things that I'm hearing from CEOs from other people is cybersecurity. A big fear. If you look at quality, cybersecurity is the ultimate in quality. What's your take on what's happening in cybersecurity, the challenges, and what are some of the solutions?
Cybersecurity is at the top of every CIO's agenda that I know. It's a very serious issue, and it's a very challenging issue because today CIOs have to connect the people in their companies, but they also have to connect the people in their companies to their suppliers. They have to connect the stuff that they work with, their data, to the cloud. And they have more and more machines that are getting connected to the Internet. So keeping all those things securely is a huge challenge. We advise customers that they have to begin by protecting their endpoints first. And those are their mobile devices, their tablets, anything where a cyber attack can generate from and use that as an access. But that's not enough. Then you have to have a secure connection to that company's network and a very secure connection to the cloud, and to make sure that you have the applications and the services that are in the cloud ripe with security packages. So I tell my customers that the old days when you think that a firewall would just protect you, those days are gone. You've got to protect every element of your network, and then you have to have threat management over that, so you can actually see where data is moving from one part of your company to the other, and to make sure that you know what data is leaving your company. That's a key aspect, because sometimes people don't realize that their data is leaving your company, and in some cases, that's leaving your company to go to a hacker, a cyber attack, and that really makes the company vulnerable to losing its most valuable data. So end-to-end security, but also very vigilant analysis of the patterns that are happening in the company to quickly detect when there's an abnormality that signals that somebody's in your network, they got through, and how to stop them quickly. That's why we offer them security solutions that are end-to-end and span from the smallest business to the largest enterprise.
And I know there's 117,000 security breaches a day. I read the AT&T report that you sent me. And of those, about 40% come internally from companies.
Yeah, we see an interesting scenario happening where some of the attacks come from the outside, but in many cases you have disgruntled employees who have unauthorized access to data, and they do damage to companies internally. So you have to be vigilant from the external sources as well as the internal sources. And Robert, the data that we have on a global basis is that cyber attacks could cost as much as $445 billion worth of damage on a global basis. And when you localize that to a company, any company who's really suffers a major attack has their reputation damage, their data damage, and it's very, very costly to repair. So we encourage customers to take preventive actions to have something catastrophic happen to them. What we do at AT&T to protect our own network is we analyze about 10 petabytes of data every single day. To put that in context, that's about four times the size of the data in the Library of Congress every day. And we're looking at our network to understand where malware is coming from, what we can do to stop it from ever getting to the customer's premises. So we do a lot of network-based detection and prevention to help our customers not ever see the attacks. But in some cases, when they get through, you have to have the mechanisms that I alluded to prevent them from getting into the company's network.
Yeah, and I could see you're in sort of a unique position because of your infrastructure to help.
Yeah, we can see where they're coming from, how they're attacking, and we can give customers a heads up. The pattern. If they start attacking financial institutions or retail operations, we can give them a heads up and prevent them from getting hacked.
And in cybersecurity, is it, does the board get involved in cybersecurity at all?
Well, yeah, it has to permeate from the CEO, the board, through the executive ranks to the lowest employees. I think it's really key that cybersecurity and has to be a state of mind where everybody is cognizant. Just one employee opening up an email that they shouldn't have that gets into a PC sets off a chain of events. So we recommend that actually companies test their employees to make sure they're properly trained and tested so that they don't open those emails that get it through the company system. You click on it, now you have a malware in the system, and it's very, very disturbing. So having trained the board, the executives, but everybody in the company to make sure that they don't click on things that they shouldn't be, that they don't plug USB devices into company products and services that they shouldn't. You have to take extreme precaution to make sure that you don't have a cyber attack.
And let's talk about quality today. How would you define what quality is really about in the 21st century?
Well, it's so much different than what we used to do. I say that you can no longer inspect quality into a product. You have to build it in, and especially with products that are software-based.
That's a great line. Build in the quality.
You have to build it in, and you have to make sure that the software that you have is such that you can keep it up to date so that you don't create any quality problems. But having the capability to build in software, the quality is huge today because of the really good systems that we have in place to develop software, to ensure that it's high quality, and to maintain it properly. So you have to build it in. You have to take the right time to build it in. And then you have to have data analytics to make sure that as that software is spreading throughout your company and orchestrating different procedures in the company, that it's delivering the right quality. We are very big into data and data analytics, using big data analytics to understand what is happening in processes to stop problems before they ever happen. For example, we have a very large fleet of trucks from AT&T. We have hundreds of thousands of trucks every day on the streets, and now we're using data analytics to predict when we have a battery failure, for example. Rather than wait for the battery to die, we're replacing it proactively, because if I have a technician that has to visit a customer's premise and they have a dead battery, I have a disgruntled customer, I have problems that the customer's going to call us and find out where the technician is, huge amount of cost, where I can easily determine, look, let's go ahead and replace the battery now, and you'll never have that problem. So we're using data and software to prevent quality problems that in the past you could never have predicted. Now we have enough software, enough data analytics that we can predict problems before they happen and nip them in the bud.
We have about 2 minutes left before the break, but I want to ask you about in quality in data and analytics. You did a special project with Red Bull that I thought was fascinating. So talk about that.
Well, we're using the Internet of Things concept to connect Red Bull's Formula One racing cars. And these racing cars have about 100 sensors in them. Red Bull races the cars in 21 races in different countries. So think about 21 different countries, cars that are running 200 miles an hour, and they're sending data to a control center in the United Kingdom. And the way that those races are won is essentially in milliseconds. So one of the things that happens in a Formula One race is they have to change the tires on the car. And changing the tires on the car is now a science, because they know exactly whether they're in Singapore or the UK or Australia. They know exactly the temperature of the tires.
There's about 30 seconds left.
They have all the data analytics that can tell those customers exactly when to change the tires. And as a result, Red Bull has taken it to a science. They can now change four tires on a Formula One race car in an amazing 1.9 seconds. So it's all about data and data analytics. It helps them win in performance races like that, and it can help companies win in the marketplace.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show with Ralph De La Vega, the Vice Chairman of AT&T. When we come back from commercial break, we are then going to talk about strategy in a disruptive technology world. Back in a few.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
GCN and Youngevity are bringing Dr. Joe Wallach to Hawaii for the first time in 20 years. Aloha, I'm Melina, Senior Vice Chairman with Youngevity GCN team. Exclusive to GCN, you have the opportunity to meet and greet with Dr. Joe Wallach of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. For leaders that want to support GCN, your health and wealth, visit WallachHawaii.com, TeamGaday.com, or call 808-436-5025.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, Call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-914-6977. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-914-6977. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-914-6977. That's 1-800-914-6977.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and I'm here with Ralph De La Vega, the Vice Chairman of AT&T. Let's talk about strategy. How does a company develop strategy? What advice do you have to them in a world where you could have a new competitor digitally disrupting you overnight?
Yeah, I think there's three trends going on in business today that companies have to understand and have to adapt and not reject. The first big trend going is with software, Robert. Software is getting faster, better, and cheaper to develop with higher quality. And what's driving that is the fact that a lot of software is open sourced. You also have application programming interfaces that allow data to be accessed by these software applications in a much easier fashion. And then agile development processes make it better to deliver the software to the end users. So software is changing the world right now. In fact, some of the things that we used to be done in software and hardware, I should say, are now being done in software. You are using virtual machines developed by software every day and probably don't even know it. But I guarantee you that you've used the wake-up function on an alarm clock on a phone. That used to be that you have to have an alarm clock, but now you use your phone and it's an app. If you need a flashlight today, do you go look for a flashlight or do you open the application that is a flashlight? So those are two things that used to be hardware-based, and now they're all software-based. So things that were done in hardware are being done in software. When you combine that with mobile broadband and the cloud, then the combination of those three things is dramatically changing the world. The best example I can give you is Uber. Uber is amazingly successful. I was in London recently. I opened the front page of the Financial Times, and the headline story was the Black Cabbie School in London is closing down. Black cabbies are legendary. It takes 3 years to get a license when you go to the cabbie school. They're wonderful. But Uber has replaced them with software, mobility, and the cloud. And that's such a disruptive force that even for great services like that can be disruptive. So the message to companies today is either you disrupt or you're going to be disrupted by software, mobility, and the cloud impacting your business. It's just a matter of time. We at AT&T believe that you should be proactive and seek to use that technology to your advantage.
Let's talk about in a disruptive world where you're trying to accelerate change, what is the real role of the board?
Well, I think the board has to be extremely engaged in understanding the transition from where a company is to where it is going. I'll give you our own example at AT&T. We told our board that we were moving from the old network of yesterday to a software-defined network. That's going to be a dramatic change to the technology that we use, Robert, but also to the people. We have hundreds of thousands of people that are used to the hardware world that I just described to you, a world that is getting changed by software. The things that used to be done by hardware will now require software expertise. So we have to change our people and retool them and retrain them to be software experts as opposed to hardware experts. So we've developed curriculum for our employees to let them know that, you know, the hardware jobs of the past are going to go away, but the software jobs of the future are going to grow, and give them a curriculum that if they want to make the change, they can retrain themselves so they can compete for the jobs of the future. So this is a huge transformation, not just from the technological point of view, not from the marketplace point of view, but from a people point of view, who we have to have people that can learn how to operate the business in a new software-driven environment.
You faced one of the greatest challenges in life, and then you turned it into an opportunity that benefited all of society. Tell the story.
Well, I'll try to do it fast. I'm a very lucky person because I came to the United States by myself after the Cuban Revolution. My parents sent me ahead thinking they would follow in a few days, and it took them 4 years. So I was here in the U.S. by myself. Without a family, I didn't speak the language, and I didn't have a penny in my pocket. So those days were so difficult that when people ask me now how difficult it was to put together Singular Wireless and AT&T Wireless, a $41 billion cash deal, I say that's easy. Hard is leaving your family, leaving your language, your culture, and starting over. But it really taught me opportunities are really obstacles in disguise. And sometimes we don't approach obstacles, we walk away from them. I've learned, and in fact, the book that I wrote is called Obstacles Welcome, because we should welcome those obstacles. When I ran Latin America, which was an 11-country operation with wireless startups in those 11 countries, 11 different boards, and things were so difficult in Latin America that people said, my gosh, why did you take that job? Things are so bad. You have so many problems that this is full of opportunities. And it's that same opportunity that we approach.
Just talk about within 3 days what was happening. It was crazy.
Well, in Argentina, we had they went and devalued the peso, which was pegged for 1-to-1 to the dollar. They devalued it 4-to-1.
So you lost 75% of the business.
Oh, yeah. I ran a billion-dollar company in Argentina that overnight became a $250 million company. So that hurts your business plan for the year. In Venezuela, there was a coup, and the president was left the country for 2 days, came back in 2 days, and business went on strike. In Brazil, there was further devaluation, defaults on loans. It was just chaotic, and we had never made money in Latin America. Within a year, by aligning our team, aligning our boards, having a common vision and a good plan that was executed well, the company turned profitable. And that's the kind of things that can happen when you approach obstacles and view them as an opportunity. You know that we worked with Steve Jobs first on launching a product that was a dismal failure called the Rocker. We actually worked on the Rocker with Steve Jobs at Apple and Ed Sander at Motorola. The first phone that had iTunes in them was the Motorola Rocker. It didn't sell. But it was that opportunity that gave us a chance to work with Steve Jobs, who said, you know, I think I can build a better product. We worked together with him, and the rest is history.
I want to ask you, what advice do you have to CEOs of major organizations?
I think more than anything, you have to be agile today. Things are changing so fast that you need to put in a culture where people trust each other. They can get to the marketplace fast, experiment, have fast failures, and move on to seize the opportunities, because things are changing so fast. What I tell them is one of the most important things to learn in this environment is you have to learn how to unlearn and relearn.
Wait. You have to learn how to unlearn. What
yes.
do you mean by
well,
that?
Well, look, I'll give you a great example. One of the greatest things that we found out when we did the iPhone is that you no longer needed a keyboard to have a smartphone. Before the iPhone came out, all the smartphones of that era had a physical keyboard. When the iPhone came out, it was a slate. There was no keyboard. And that was a big aha that everything we had learned that you needed in a phone no longer was true. It was no longer true that you needed a keyboard. Apple came up with the innovation. We jumped on it. And the people who adopted the slate, to type on a slate, if you will, changed the world. Those who still stuck by the keyboard lost their business. And so you had to unlearn that you no longer needed keyboards on a smartphone. All you needed was the glass.
Boy, is that fascinating. The future for Ralph De La Vega?
The future is full of opportunities.
There you go. Great having you on the CEO show. This is Ralph De La Vega, the Vice Chairman of AT&T.
Thank you, Robert.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.